which assure his glorious death. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Satvam Rajas Tama Iti Prakrita Natmano Guna Tatra Sakshinimnam Atmanam Yo Veda Sa Na Badyate Satvam Rajas Tama Iti Prakrite Natmano Guna Tatra Sakshinam Atmanam Yo Veda Sa Na Badyate Satvam Rajas Tama Iti Prakriter Natmano Guna Tatra Sakshinam Atmanam Yo Veda Sana Badyate Satvam Rajas Tama Iti Prakriter Atmano Gunai Tatra Sakshinam Atmanam Yo Veda Sana Badyate Manam Yo Veda Sana Bhajate Satvam Rajas Tama Iti Atmano Guna Atmanam Yo Veda Nasa Bhajate Prakritira Mano Gunaya Tatra Sakshinam Atmanam Yo Veda Sana Bhajate Satvam Rajas Tama Iti Prakritira Natmano Gunaya Tatra Sakshinam Atmanam Yo Veda Sana Bhajate Satvam Rajas Tama Iti Prakritira Natmano Gunaya Atmanam Yo Veda Sana Bhajate Satvam Rajas Tama Iti Prakriti Natmano Guna Tatra Sakshinam Atmanam Yo Veda Sana Bhajate Sakshinam Atmanam Yo Veda Sana Bhajate Satvam Rajas Tama Iti Prakrite Natmano Gunayam Tatra Sakshinam Atmanam Yo Veda Sana Bhajate Satvam Rajas Tama Iti Prakritena Anugunaya Tatra Sakshinam Atmanam Vedasanabhajate. Tamayiti Prakritanatanobana Tatsvinam Sakshatmanam Yo Vedasanabhajate.
Sattvam, the mode of goodness. Raja, the mode of passion. Tamaha, the mode of ignorance. Iti, thus. Prakriti, of the material nature. Na, not. Atmana, of the spirit soul. Gunaha, the qualities. Tatra, in such a position. Shakshinam, an observer. Atmanam, the self. Ya, anyone who. Veda, knows. Sa, he. Na, not. Vadyate, is bound. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace of Vaicharanada Vindabhaktivedanta Swami Sri Prabhupada Ki Jai. One who knows that the three qualities, goodness, passion and ignorance, are not qualities of the soul, but qualities of the material nature. And who knows that the pure soul, and who knows that the pure soul is simply an observer of the actions and reactions of these qualities. Let me read it again. One who knows that the three qualities, goodness, passion and ignorance, are not qualities of the soul, but qualities of material nature. And who knows that the pure soul is simply an observer of the actions and reactions of these qualities, should be understood to be a liberated person. He is not bound by these qualities. Please repeat. One who knows that the three qualities, goodness, passion and ignorance, are not the qualities of the soul, but qualities of material nature. And one who knows that the pure soul is simply an observer of the actions and reactions of these qualities, should be understood to be a liberated person. He's not bound by these qualities. Purport. As the Lord explains in Bhagavad Gita 18:54, Brahma Bhuta Prashanatma Na Sochati Na Kanchati Shama Sarveshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktim Labati Param. One who is transcendentally situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments or desires to have anything. He is equally disposed to all living entity, to every living entity. In that state, he attains pure devotional service unto me. When one attains self-realization, the Brahma Bhuta stage, one knows that whatever happens during his life is due to the contamination of the modes of material nature. The living being, the pure soul, has nothing to do with these modes. In the midst of the hurricane of the material world, everything changes very quickly. But if one remains silent and simply observes the actions and reactions of the hurricane, he is understood to be liberated. The real qualification of the liberated soul is that he remains Krishna conscious, undisturbed by the actions and reactions of the material energy. Such a liberated person is always jubilant. He never laments or aspires for anything. Since everything is supplied by the Supreme Lord, the living entity, being fully dependent on him, should not protest or accept anything in terms of his personal sense gratification. Rather, he should receive everything as the mercy of the Lord, and remain steady in all circumstances. Om Agyanta Midandasya Chananjanan Shalakaya Takshuran Militandina Tashmaya Shri Gurumha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garata Shiva Shari Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hari 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 Rama Hari Rama 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 Hari Hari. Translation: one who knows that these three qualities, goodness, passion, and ignorance, are not qualities of the soul, but qualities of material nature. And who knows that the pure soul is simply an observer of the actions and reactions of these qualities, should be understood to be a liberated person. He is not bound by these qualities. So this is almost identical with one Bhagavad Gita shloka in the chapter of three modes of material nature. And Krishna says, when one properly sees that in all activities no other performer is at work than these three modes of nature, and he knows that the Supreme Lord, who is transcendental to these modes, he attains my spiritual nature. So hereby, analysis or understanding things as they are, one can attain a spiritual nature, being pointed out here. The vision, this is the vision of the self-realized person. He is seeing the actions and reactions that are going on in the material world. We have to act, we have to react. But he sees it as, it's just the drama of Im Rajagun or Shatagun or Tamagun. He's simply observing these different activities that are going on, but he's seeing actually it's nothing is happening except the modes of material nature are pushing and causing everything to happen. The modes of material nature are the big controllers of this world, and they are causing everything to happen. Sometimes prominently goodness, sometimes predominantly passion, sometimes predominantly in ignorance. But they're always in activity, and not for one moment do they let up. This is talking about a person, a sober person, interested in self-realization. He should have this vision. He should be observant to what's going on, and see it as simply an action and a reaction of the modes of material nature, that's all. Sometimes mixed, sometimes... but they're constantly in flux. It's like the weather, you see now it's kind of calm, it's a little bit windy, so it's a little bit cooler, more pleasant. But a few days ago, heavy torrential rain, it was very passionate, flooding was there. So like that, you see in nature now, it's quite calm. Sometimes a hurricane comes, you mentioned hurricane, that sometimes the trees are very tomatic, the trees are sometimes uprooted like that. You sometimes see in Mayapur, there's strong wind is coming. You see the tree and suddenly it's gone. Banana trees and things like that. So very tamasic, but it's always something is happening. It's got to be something happening right now. Some mixtures, some qualities. So the sober person is seeing that that's what's happening, and he's understanding that I'm not actually doing anything except desiring. I have desire to participate in this drama that's going on. Whatever it is, we desire to participate, we have to participate, that is social life. Otherwise, unless you want to be, you know, just be a Muni and go to the Himalayas and not interact with society and just observe the way nature is coming and understanding how you are aloof and also the Supreme Lord is aloof from these activities of the material energy. Although Krishna is a doer and of all activities, but he's simply sanctioning the activity, and it's done through his energy. He does everything through his energy. Devi yeshi gunamaya mama maya durachaya. This material energy of mine, Krishna says, is mine. It's difficult to overcome unless one surrenders to Krishna. So it's Krishna's energy that's working. So Krishna works through his energy. And Krishna is fulfilling the desires of everyone. This is why Krishna is working. Krishna is dictating to the modes of material nature at every moment, do this, do this. Why? Because the living entities are desiring also. They want to do this, they want to do this. So Krishna has sanctioned the material energy to execute the activity to satisfy the desire of the living entity. But the living entity, he doesn't do anything except desire. That's all he can do. We cannot move everything around independently. We cannot even get from one side of the room to the other side of the room independently. We have to take help of the body, material and nature. So this is our the conditioned state of the living entity. So Prabhupada says, in the same chapter, Three Modes of Material Nature, Prabhupada says, how does one stay aloof from the material energy? We're very much affected. Passion suddenly appears, we're affected. We get lost sometimes. Or goodness, ignorance, whatever it is. So how does one stay aloof if the activities of material nature and they're nothing to do with the living entity? How does he stay aloof? And Prabhupada says in the purport that he doesn't try to enjoy the modes of material nature, nor does he try to get out of the modes of material nature. So that's what everyone is doing. Either you're trying to enjoy the material world, or if you become a yogi, you try to get out of the material world. But Prabhupada says, no, this is how you can stay aloof. You don't try to enjoy it, nor do you try to get out. We're not interested in bhakti, we're not interested in mukti even. No, we want bhakti, we just want savior to Krishna. But on this path, then we adopt what's favorable for Krishna because of our conditioned nature. So it's favorable to be aloof from the material energy. It's favorable. So we adopt that process. We try to remain aloof. And enjoying material energy is unfavorable. So we try to reject the unfavorable aspect of material energy for the devotees. So like in this way, in this verse says, one who knows that the pure soul is an observer of the actions of these qualities should be understood to be a liberated person. Yeah, he's not bound by his actions. So here in this verse he's saying that the living entity, the soul, he becomes aloof from these material, from the material actions and reactions of the modes of material nature, and Krishna says, you see what's happening. The modes of material nature are happening. Everything is moving due to the influence of the modes of material nature. And the devotee sees that behind this. Why it's moving? Because of the will of the Lord is there. The will of the Lord is causing everything to move. Otherwise it wouldn't move. Not a blade of grass will move without the sanction of the Lord. So it's all moving. So when we see that, there's nothing in all activities except the modes of material nature, and he understands that the Supreme Lord is aloof from that nature, he's just sanctioning it to happen. Or sanction it not to happen. Then one can understand my nature. We have a nature similar to Krishna. In the Purple Prabhupada, he's talking about Brahma Buddha Prashanatma. You can understand this nature of Krishna by observance. This is simply telling, by being observant, you can actually get self-realized by being observant. And seeing nature working around you, and the Lord is the observer. We are the observer, he says. But the Lord is sanctioning it. So then we sing, it's the hand of the Lord that's making everything function. So when we understand that, no, instead of becoming absorbed in the activities of material nature, we see the hand of the Lord there. It's happening because of the Lord. Who is that Lord? That's my Lord, my lovable Lord. This is how great he is. He's moving everything. So it's Krishna. So that helps us to remember Krishna. And once we can understand Krishna behind that, then Krishna says, then you can understand my transcendental nature. You can understand my spiritual nature. Understanding how Krishna is acting. We're seeing what's happening, the activities in the world are happening, and how Krishna is acting within that by his sanctioning, his observing, sanctioning. When we see how Krishna is aloof from the energy, then we can become aloof. By observance, this has been pointed out here. So simply by observance, it's not doesn't seem like a big realization, because you can do it right now at any moment, because this is what's happening all around you. You take a note of the environment, and it's moving due to the modes of material nature. But actually, we're trying to see Krishna's hand. He's actually pushing the buttons behind it. So, it's Krishna who's behind it, he's aloof, he's not... Then we can also attain the same nature as Krishna. He stated quite clearly in Bhagavad Gita, and the same thing here. Then we can understand the transcendental nature of Krishna. So, then, when he attains his state of self-realization on Brahma Buddha stage, one knows that whatever happens during his life is due to the contamination of the modes of material nature. But he, as a pure soul, he has nothing to do with these material modes of nature. So again, he should not protest or accept anything in terms of personal sense gratification. Rather, he should receive everything as the mercy of the Lord and remain steady in all circumstances. So this is the Ritta Shura. He's giving some very good moral and good instruction to King Indra. He's bringing his consciousness, he's pushing Indra's consciousness up. Indra's consciousness is that he's controlling, actually. He's the king of heaven and he's in a battle, and he's the doer. He's identifying himself as a doer, Indra. And I'm going to kill Vritashura. When Vritashura practically kills him, now he's thinking, I'm the loser. I'm ashamed. He threw the thunderbolt and I lost my thunderbolt. He half killed my elephant. I'm going to be defeated now. So he's thinking I'm the controller, and then he's thinking I'm going to win, and then he's thinking no, I'm going to lose. So gain and defeat, victory and he's on this platform. And so Vritashura, as the demon, he's pushing his consciousness up. No, you don't see like this. You don't identify yourself with the activities of material nature. You just perform your duty as you're supposed to under the dictation of Krishna, and just everything will come out, you depend on Krishna however it comes out, but don't identify yourself as a doer. Because when you identify yourself as a doer, then you identify yourself as the enjoyer or the sufferer. So Indra is Indra is actually the Asura, and Vritasura is actually the Asura. He's the Deva. He has demigod consciousness. He's talking about self-realization. He's pushing Indra up. Indra's the demigod, supposed to be the Deva. He's got the Asura consciousness of, you know, Mama Meti, it's I and mine. I'm the controller. I'm the enjoy. I'm going to become victorious in the battle. He's going to become defeated. So they kind of swap roles here. So this is the greatness of Vritasura. That's why he's got his place in the Srimad Bhagavatam. We're speaking about demons here, and we're glorifying demon, glorifying a demon because of his Krishna consciousness. Of course, he's in the same family as Prahlad Maharaj. We glorify Prahlad Maharaj. He was born in the demoniac family. So do you see, like, then it's just a question of consciousness. It's a question of Krishna consciousness in this material world. That's the positive alternative that we have Krishna consciousness. Just by this one thing of being Krishna conscious, then everything else is taken care of. By surrendering to Krishna. Then those who surrender Krishna, what did he say? Anyway, those who surrender me, they easily cross the social and material existence. So this is the purpose of human life, is to cross over the material existence. That's stated throughout the Vedas. But how to cross over? Then you've got millions and millions of instructions. Some people say you cross over through Gyan. This is actually Gyan. He's teaching now to Indra, which is giving him knowledge. He's kind of. So the Vedas are full of the paths of Gyan, the paths of yoga, the paths of Dharma, the paths of renunciation, so many different ways, so many ways to execute or become, come to the transcendental platform. But this takes many, many births. Bhavanam Jamananti, Gyanabhama, Vigyani, searching for truth. Takes him thousands and thousands of births to come to the point of understanding. Vasudeva Sarvamiti, Samhatma Sadulabha. He comes to that point of understanding Krishna Vasudeva. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That took thousands and thousands of births to come to that stage. Through the process of Gyan, being a Gyani, searching for truth. But Krishna conscious persons, we don't have to do that. Krishna consciousness is much more direct and absolute. In regard to that verse, Bhavanam Jamananti, Prabhupada said that this, the result of knowledge of thousands of births is that you come to the conclusion Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva Sarvamiti. Surrender, you come to the point of surrender. But Prabhupada said now, this is Krishna's words, Prabhupada said, now I'm telling you that if you surrender to Krishna, you should surrender to Krishna. And if you hear me and you do surrender to Krishna, you jump those thousands of births, you skip over those thousands and thousands of births. Because this is the conclusion of thousands of births of being a Gyani. So this is the benefit of one moment's association with a pure devotee. Because you can meet a pure devotee and he can tell you Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead in one sentence, as we're saying all the time. And you're his servant, you should surrender to him. You can, and Prabhupada said that practically in every lecture. We speak it all the time when we're preaching. That's what we're. But so understanding that, okay, and then you take the process of surrender, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That means you jumped over thousands and thousands of births to come to that conclusion. So this is the greatness of the devotee. He makes everything short because he's presenting the path of bhakti. When things are done in the mood of favorable devotional service of Krishna, then Krishna takes care of everything. for the path of Jnana Yoga, everything, all those different paths that people are addicted to. I like the Shonopati. Shonopati means the goldsmith. He's making earring or nose ring, little nose ring like that. So he has a little bit of gold, and he's tap 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 tap. Prabhupada said Krishna consciousness is like the blacksmith's process. The blacksmith, he has a big hammer about, a solid hammer, and one stroke, boom, Krishna consciousness. No need to tap, 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 tap. This is the other processes. So this one process of Krishna consciousness, boom, everything finished. Surrender to Krishna, and Krishna will take care of everything. So this is the sublime message of that Mahaprabhu has presented to make it easy for us by this whole process of devotional service. Today is also the Hara Panchami and the disappearance day of Brakeshwara Pandit. If anybody has any question on this point, Prabhu, general.
So what if a person is brought before the judge, like a murderer or a rapist or whatever, he says, "Oh judge, I'm just a hapless victim of the rules of this new nature. I'm actually innocent. Why would you punish me? Because it's just the rules of this new nature acting. And I'm anyway giving these people their karma. So you should actually not punish me, and I would anyway be punished by the law of karma. So why would you interfere in this process and punish me? So I should not be punished. So what should the judge, what should the enlightened judge say?"
He would have said, "You shouldn't have got caught." Because you got caught, that's why. Don't get caught. It's a good point, and it's a fact that one does transcend these modes of material nature. And but you're in the material world, you have material laws, you have to abide by them. Otherwise there's reaction. So this is from the angular vision of the Dharma Shastra. It's giving you forbidden activities and activities you should be performed, these activities and they should be formed, these shouldn't. So this is according to the Dharma Shastra. If you do the good activities, you get the result. If you do the bad activities, you get the... you also get the result. Reaction. But Krishna consciousness is actually transcendental to pious and impious, according to the Dharma Shastra. Just like it says, you perform the Pinda ceremony, the Shraddha ceremony for your family members. It's good for their well-being. You offer the prasad to the forefathers, deceased forefathers. So you do your duty. It's pious, it's dharmic. You're going to perform that duty, and if you don't do it, then you fail to pay off the debt. So there's punishment. It's called Rini and Kinkara. Rini means debtor. When you're born, you're indebted. Your mother and father, they gave you the body. Your teachers, the government who maintain everything, sages who give you knowledge. You're indebted to six people. And human form of life means that you pay off these debts. This is what the Dharma Shastras are teaching. You're a debtor, you pay off the debts. So then you spend your life paying paying off all these debtors. And if you don't, you are sinful. So, but for one who is Krishna conscious, one who is initiated in a bona fide sampradaya with the Vishnu names, then he's not obligated to follow these rules and regulations. And in fact, if he does follow it, and he does offer pinda to his forefathers and worship the pitras, he makes nama aparad and sabar aparad. Although he's supposed to do that, because that's dharmic, he's supposed to do that and pay off his debts. He pays off the debts, and if he's a devotee, he does it, and worships the pitras and the devatas, then he makes nama aparad and sabar aparad. He does the ceremony of pinda, which is with the one of the nama aparadas. One shouldn't consider the chanting of Hare Krishna as a ritualistic karmakanda activity. So you make nama aparad, and you stop your service to do the materialistic ceremony. So you make sabar aparad also. Even unknowingly, says Gopal Bhatta Goswami. So although it's there and it's mentioned, it's Dharma Shastra, but Krishna consciousness transcends all that. So you've got, okay, you're a rini, you're a debtor, so you're paying your debts off, which means you do your pitra puja and you do your deva puja. You're indebted to the demigods for the light, heat, rain, so you do your deva puja. Well, what's the result of that? What does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita? Those who worship the pitras, those who worship the devas, they go to the deva. Those who worship the pitras, they go to pitraloka. So you become a kinkara, a servant. So you start serving the devas and you start serving the pitra that happens in pitraloka. Then your next birth, you go there. One who worships the devas, they go to the planet of the devas. So this is so much for your so-called Dharma Shastras in comparison to Krishna consciousness, in comparison to a sinful world. It's fantastic. Everybody's praising Dharma Shastra. It's fantastic. You should do it. But in comparison to Krishna consciousness, it's actually sinful. If you're dependent on ritualistic activities, Krishna's saying, sarvadhanam parityajama, Krishna's forbidden. Give it all up. Give up those activities and surrender to me. Yeah, so don't get caught. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, thank you, Bhaji. Bhaji, Lord Chaitanya himself, he performed the pinda ceremony of his father, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He went to Gaya, he did all the Shraddha Karma. So, and also Prabhupada mentioned many times that we follow like Shraddha Karma ceremony and other ceremony, ritualistic ceremony. And you say, you already told that it is Nam Aparad Seva Aparad, if you do that.
Yeah, Mahaprabhu took, we went to Gaya to perform pinda for his father, Jagannath Mishra. Yeah, but the Acharyas have explained it, that he went there on the plea of doing this pinda. He went to meet his Guru Maharaj, because that's where he met Ishwarapura and became initiated. So that was part of his pastime. And he was the leader of the Brahminical community, or he was very respected. So the Brahmanas have to set example. So to set an example as a perfect Brahman, then he did the duty to the forefathers, and like that he went there. Otherwise, when Srup Damodar Maharaj also, when his father died, now Srup Damodar Maharaj, and he wrote to Prabhupada, should I go to Gaya, like Mahaprabhu went to Gaya? And Prabhupada said, not necessary for a sannyasi. Your service is the greatest thing you can do for your relatives. Your devotional service is millions of times greater than offering the ritualistic activity. You do much more benefit simply by performing devotional service. You liberate how many generations up, how many generations down if you become a pure devotee of Krishna? And what do you get by performing a ceremony of pindar or worshipping demigods? You simply take birth again. So there's no comparison to the activities of devotional service, to the karma kanda activities, and even though in the mode of goodness.
Another point is, all the dharma shastra, they are coming from Krishna, all the dharma shastra.
Yes.
See, if someone follows the dharma shastra, he is following Krishna in another way. So how it will become like now?
No, then it takes, you follow, was it 100 births perfectly, vanashram, following the, you take birth as a Brahma, is that correct? You can take birth as a Lord Brahma. You've got to follow exactly 100 consecutive births perfectly following vanashram, you can take a birth of Brahma. Then from Brahma, what's going to happen? You don't, it may come back down again. It may go up again. So, yeah, better become Krishna conscious. It solves all of the problems. Yes.
So often we see these great Vaishnava acharyas, they write laments, you know. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he wrote laments. I didn't do this, I wasted my time like this. So what's the difference between that kind of lament, the lament of the Vaishnava acharya, and the lament of regular lamentation? Oh, I lost my girlfriend. Oh, my bank balance is low. So they're both lamenting. So if there's no somebody who's attained from Brahman realization, which is just a byproduct of devotional service, why is he lamenting Bhaktivinoda Thakur and these other acharyas?
Yeah, this what they're talking about, he never laments and he sees everything as equal and he is Brahma Buddha Prashanatma. For him, he's just lamenting it. They're both spiritual positions, bhakti and Brahma Buddha. Brahmaneti Paramatmi, Bhagavaneti Sabjati. But this Brahma Buddha is in Shantaras. So, why lament in Shantaras? Everything is. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur is in. He's tasting the transcendental humor. That's in whatever his relationship with Krishna is. He's established that sambandha, especially. As followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he had come to experience that also separation in Buddha's separation from Krishna. So much lamentation is there. So that's a spiritual lamentation, where one experiences all these emotions and it's very, very deep for those devotees. But for the Brahma Buddha Prashanatma, he's just practically, there's no bhakti in that. He's almost like, was it Brahmananda Puri? When Madhavendra Puri was leaving his body and his disciples? Yeah. Yeah, he was a great Vaishnava. In the conjugal mood of Krishna, and his disciple said, why are you crying and lamenting like this? You should be equipoised at the time of leaving your body. You shouldn't be lamenting. It's a sign of weakness. You should be aloof from everything. He said, get this guy out of here. Get him out of here. I don't want to die looking into the face of this Mayavadi atheist. Yeah, different sentiments are there.
But sometimes, it seems that
Yeah. But what did he waste so much time for? For coming to Krishna, for getting Krishna. That was his lamentation. But when one is absorbed in these different moods, then that's absolute. That's actually all that's existing at that time. So when he's saying, you know, I just simply wasted my life in sense gratification, he's really feeling that. And he is... this is they're living it, they're expressing it, they're feeling it. It's that's all that is existing. I did waste my life, but at that time, that's it. This is like Narottam, same thing, all these acharyas. But they say, Narottam, Sri Rupa Manjari Pada Jaradama Shampada. Goswami is my life and soul, he's my guru, he's my mantra. At that time, that's all that's existing for the devotee. He's just absorbed in that aspect, and there's nothing else existing for that period. Then the next time he's singing Radha Krishna Pranamoye Jugala Kishore. Actually, there's no existence except Radha and Krishna. They are my love, they are my life. Nothing existing outside of that. So this is the nature of bhakti. When you're absorbed in it, that's all that is existing. Nothing else exists outside of that. But the mood is always changing. You saw in Mahaprabhu's pastime in Shiva Sangam. He's falling at the feet of the devotees. Where is Krishna? Please give me your mercy. I can't get the mercy. I know by the dust of the feet of devotees we can get Krishna prema. I have no... And then he sits on the altar of Shiva's altar, pushes the shalagram to one side. I am he, I am he. Another time he's dancing in ecstasy. And another time he's... I'm not a devotee. Where is Krishna? So... Constant. That's why it's called Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. It's an ocean. An ocean is not flat, it's constant. So bhakti is constantly like that, from one emotion to another. And you're not going to stop to think about the last one. You just go on and on forever. This is Krishna's supreme enjoyer. From one emotion to another, for eternity. That's just Krishna's passion. So Hare Panchami today, I just give 1 minute, okay, 1 minute I'll wait. Hare Panchami. Because Jagannath and Balaram and Subhadra, they're going to Vrindavan. And according to the culture, Arisan, I guess also Bengali culture, then the wife of the younger brother shouldn't be in the presence of the elder brother. Is that right? At least alone. That's the culture. So, because Balaram is also going to Vrindavan, to Gundicha, then that means Lakshmi can't go because she's the wife of his younger brother, Krishna. So she can't go. She's a little bit... Everyone else is going and I can't go. So therefore Krishna, after this Snanyatra, he gives that time, that Anushwara, that period of 15 days when they... take advantage and repaint Jagannath. So Krishna gives that time on the plea of being catching a fever. He just goes and he spends time with Lakshmi. So that 15 days he's just with Lakshmi. They're in the gardens, they're all alone. So his full attention he can give to Lakshmi, and she's going to be, because she'll lament a bit and feel separation. So Krishna gives all that time to Lakshmi, and you know, whatever they do, wandering in the gardens, eating sweet rice or whatever. anyway, just enjoying each other's association. So then Krishna and Balaram and Subhadra, they go and get on the chariot and they go to Vrindavan, Gundicha. But Jagannath said, I'm coming back in 1 or 2 days. So then Panchami, today's Panchami. Then 5 days he didn't come back. She's sitting there, so she becomes very angry because he promised he'll come back in 5 days. He's not come back, so she calls all of her attendants, all of our guards come, and their shakis come, the attendants, and they all pick up sticks and weapons, and her personal guard is there, and they go marching down to Gundicha. She's sitting in the palanquin, she's proud. And they go down and they jump on the guards and they stop beating up Jagannath's guards at the gate and they beat him. Where is that Jagannath? Where Krishna come? Then they capture them, they tie them up and they start hurling abusive words at them. Got your spirit going on there. And they start beating the cart. They break one of the wheels of the cart. You took Jagannath away. And then they have to get a message. Krishna has to promise, okay, I'll come. Don't worry, I'm coming. Gotcha, as soon as possible. So she feels a little bit better. She's exhibited her wrath. And okay, then they carry her back to the... astonishing pastime. And on the altar rod, they go back to the... Jagannath goes back to the temple. Gates are locked. So the rat, okay, open the gates. Jagannath's here. The guards say, we've got orders from the queen. You cannot, she's not to open the gates. He said, I'm king. It's my palace. It's my temple. Why you don't open the gates? Lakshmi said, you can't come in. So he said, what can I do? So he sends a elephant, decorated elephant. You can come on the elephant. She sends it back. He sends a palanquin all decorated and so many jewels and necklaces and everything to try to appease her. So then she eventually comes to the gate, the other side of the gate. So what do you want? So I want to come in. Your husband. Why you want to come with me? I'm just a daughter of a beggar woman. No, you let me in. You know, if you come in, what's going to happen to Subhadra? You left me all alone, and I know what it's like. Now if you come in, you're going to leave Subhadra all alone. She'll lament, so better you stay with Subhadra. These conversations, going, the king come, call the king. The king has to make some appeals. Yeah. Then finally Lakshmi relents. Okay, open the door. And they let Jagannath in. So they actually perform that pastime in Jagannath Puri also. Harapanchami ki jai. And Rakeshwar Pandit was great devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in the Gaurganga Desatipika, it said that Bhakishwar Pandit was actually Aniruddha. Under the Chata Vyuha, Aniruddha Pradyumna Shankarshan Vasudev, he was actually Aniruddha, and also he was one of Radharani's dear Shakis named Shashi Rekha Shaki, also entered into Rakeshwar Pandit. Some statements they also say that Chungabiji Devi also somehow or another partially expanded him. Because it makes sense in once, because Chungabiji, she's a dancing professor also. And Rakeshwar Pandit, he was known for his great dancing. It said that he was dancing for 72 hours non-stop. He's dancing. And he asked Mahaprabhu, because they were all in ecstasy dancing, and he said, Mahaprabhu was singing, and he was praying, my moon-faced Lord, please give me 1,000 Gandharvas. Give me 1,000 Gandharvas who can sing while I dance. Mahaprabhu said, you are like one of my wings. If I only had another wing like you, I would certainly be able to fly in the sky. So Rakeshwar Pandit, he was always there at Shiva Sangamo, wherever they had their kirtans, and he was famous freeze dancing, and and also he was famous for deliberating, Devananda Pandit. Devananda Pandit defended Srivas Thakur by not saying anything, or when his disciples threw Srivas out of his ashram. So Mahaprabhu chastised him heavily. And Prakashvara Pandit was come to stay with Devananda Pandit. And by the association of Prakashvara, then Devananda gradually became converted and understood the supremacy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was a great reader of Bhagavatam. He only studied Bhagavatam, and he knew it from childhood. He had all good qualities. He was completely detached. He knew Bhagavatam inside out. But he didn't know the meaning of real bhakti. He didn't understand Lord Chaitanya, and so he couldn't really understand the essence of bhakti in Srimad Bhagavatam. But by association with Rakeshwara Pandit, then also later he became converted, and Mahaprabhu was very pleased of the service he was rendering to Rakeshwara Pandit. And Mahaprabhu then actually delivered him from his offences. And he said, you get free from offences by the same. If you offended someone with your mouth, with words, then you should go with the same mouth, you should ask forgiveness from those persons you have offended. The same mouth that the offences come out is poison, like poison coming out. That when you glorify the Lord's devotees or the Lord, that becomes like amrita nectar. That will counteract the poison of blasphemy. So with the same mouth that blasphemes someone or criticizes Vaishnava, that same mouth, one should glorify the Lord, it should glorify the devotees. This is the only way to get free from the offenses made to Vaishnavas. And also he had one disciple named Gopal Guru, who is very famous. And Gopal Guru, he was the one who, he saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went out in the morning to relieve himself. Mahaprabhu was holding his tongue. So Gopal said, I see when you go out in the morning time, you're holding your tongue. And Mahaprabhu said, no, because it's when I'm going outside, it's impure place, so I hold my tongue. My tongue can't stop chanting Hare Krishna, but I don't want to chant Hare Krishna in an impure place. So Gopal said, this, you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there's no question of impurities for you. And anyway, even if you do, because you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, what about other people? What about those? They won't be able to get delivered. They're not the Supreme Person of Godhead. And Mahaprabhu said, yes, you are right. Actually, you are right. Your teacher, there's no question of purity or impurity when the chanting of Hare Krishna is going on. You are my guru. You are the teacher of the purity of Krishna and Krishna's names. You are my guru. So then he gave him the name Gopala Guru. Then Abhiram Thakur came once to pay his obeisances to Gopal Guru. When Abhiram paid his obeisances, that person would often die, or the deity would crack. Everyone would flee anyway. Generally, everyone would run away when Abhiram would take their kids with them. But he came to test Gopal Guru. He came to pay his obeisances. Gopal Guru said, woo! He jumped on Mahaprabhu's lap and took shelter on Mahaprabhu's lap. Then Abhiram Thakur paid his obeisances, and nothing happened to Gopal Guru. Rakeshwara Pandit Thirubhav Mahotsapati Ki Jai Nitai Go Premanandi. Thank you, Hare Krishna. Gauranga.